And the dispensation of grace is related entirely to the New Testament church. And as long as the New Testament church is in the earth, the dispensation of grace cannot come to a close. That, you don't earn the rapture. You don't earn it. You don't personally qualify for it. Jesus qualified you for the rapture. And it's a sovereign move of God to change into another dispensation to deal with people all over the earth, not just in the Middle East, but all over the world, who will have rejected Jesus, not become part of the body of Christ, and will be here during what we recognize from the book of Revelation as the tribulation and then the great tribulation. But even in the great tribulation, Satan will not rule the world. The Antichrist will not be a worldwide ruler. He's going to have trouble keeping 13 nations under his thumb just in the Middle East. He's going to have a 200 million man army marching on his tail at what comes at the end of the 7-year period. And he's literally going to have another major army of 200 million men, manpower army moving in on him. And they're coming to try to wipe him out at the same time that both armies are wanting to possess Jerusalem and Israel. Yet God's going to intervene and spare Israel overall. And as it says in Romans chapter 11, verse 26, yet all of Israel shall be saved. God's got a plan. And you can't throw his plan off. Now, you could personally have stayed out of his plan by rejecting Jesus, but you didn't reject Jesus, did you? And Jesus can never reject you. He says in Hebrews 13, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, if you're dealing with some rejection, you just need to feed on the lap of Jesus. You just need to breastfeed from the Spirit of grace. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And he fills you with the milk of joy, the milk of peace, the milk of unconditional love, the milk of transformation. And I'm serious, man. The greatest way to get healed from rejection is just feed on the goodness of God. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And you're made in your daddy's image. You're just like your daddy. You're just like your big brother, the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. You're just like the Holy Spirit because he has totally consumed you. Colossians 3:3 says, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. There's nothing ugly about you as far as God can tell. And he's got perfect vision. And it goes on to say in Hebrews 10, oh, here you go. Hey. Now here, listen once and hear me twice. Huh? Listen once and hear me twice. You're going to hear it, but you need to hear it. Verse 10, Hebrews 10. By that will, by the will of God, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now let me reread that in bits and pieces and let it sink in a bit more. For by the will of God, we have been sanctified. He didn't say you're a has-been. He said you have been sanctified. What's sanctified? Set apart from sin? Set apart to God. By that, by his will, by that one will, we have been sanctified. Cleansed. Ceremonially, civically, and spiritually, you've been cleansed from anything that the law of Moses could have accused you of having failed. By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus. How did your sanctification come? Not through your behavior, but through the offering of Jesus' body on the cross at Calvary. What brought sanctification from God? The offering of the body of Jesus Christ. What did God do to sanctify you? He didn't slap you upside your head and tell you what you could and couldn't do. He brought sanctification through the offering of the body of Jesus. You know what that means? You had nothing to do with earning God's approval of you. He already approved of you through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. He already cleansed you. How? Through the... Hey, everybody look up here. Because you know it's amazing how many times you can hear me say this over the years and still not get it. Can you all see this? The scripture? Not my bald head. I know you can see it. Can you see? Would you read this verse? By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. It's done. So get on with your sanctified self. Get on with your bad sanctified self. That's not quite what that means, but that's how we used to think it meant. You have been sanctified. When did he bring the sanctification? 2,000 years ago. When were you born? Less than 85 years ago. Do the arithmetic. The sanctification was provided nearly 2,000 years before you could partake of it. Did you earn sanctification? No. Did you buy it?
No.
It bought you. Okay? Once and for all. Now, you said it, so you oughts to be believing it. You read it, you said it. It's true. You are sanctified. Sanctified means cleaned up, cleaned out, cleaned off. A vessel fitted for the master's use. God cannot disapprove of you. He disapproved of you, in essence, when he disapproved of Jesus, who became the Lamb who carried away the sin of the world. And as Jesus became sin, he took all of God's disapproval of fallen mankind, and he carried it away to the cross. And when Jesus was raised from the dead, God's approval had come forth, and that whoever would call upon the name of the Lord was free to become born again. After the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, it's recorded in Acts chapter 2, verse 12. But this man, after he had offered, thank you, ma'am, this man, not this man, that man, this man Jesus, after he had offered, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. He sat down on the right hand of God. He offered one sacrifice for sin. It's done. God's not been dealing with sin for 2,000 years. And it's in the Word of God. You know, there's a fair part of the body of Christ that's rejecting the priesthood of Jesus when we try to do something for the body of Christ that we don't believe Jesus has done. And it even shows up in our prayer life, which I've spoken of before, but anytime you got to pray for revival and you got to pray for God to send revival, you don't believe that the Holy Spirit is the reviver. You really don't. Or you don't believe that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yeah, people need revival, but it's when the gospel's preached and they hear the message and they receive and react with, that's when people get revived spiritually. The Holy Spirit's never pulled revival out of the earth since he's been in the earth, and he's been in the earth since the fall, or since the creation of the heavens and the earth. And the Holy Spirit's been moving in and through the New Testament body of Christ for 2,000 years. And people coming into the kingdom daily. How can revival not be taking place? God has no favorites in the body of Christ. He's not a man that he can lie, nor a son of man that he can change his mind. God's no respecter of persons, and these are all scriptural truths. These are all scriptures. God doesn't move because you pray. Even the Welsh revival of over 100 years ago that we know we participated in the afterglow 100 years later while we were over in Wales. Those Welsh people could have as much revival today as they did 100 and some years ago. All they got to do is hear the report, believe it, receive it, and begin to interact with it, and they'll get changed. But anyway, that's a different soapbox. But it is the right one. You know what also amazes me, and I mean this. The news media has been broadcasting and prophesying how much damage Hurricane Irene was going to do. Probably the most expensive hurricane in American history. You know, all they're doing is giving that demonic rage permission to do its dastardly deed. But what about the body of Christ all over the East Coast that could have and hopefully have been declaring, go forth, be removed? And apparently not everybody was in agreement with it because it's wreaking some degree of havoc on the East Coast. But great, you know, remember Jesus calmed the storm on the Sea of Galilee? He got up in the face of the raging storm and commanded peace. That same anointing that was upon him is in you. We believe, therefore do we speak. But that's a different soapbox too. Now, just a couple more verses. By that will we have been sanctified, verse 10, through the offering of the body of Christ Jesus once and for all. Sanctification came through Jesus. It comes into you by the Holy Spirit, but it's already come through and because of Jesus. And then verse 12, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. And then verse 14, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Now, I want you to hear the wording of that. This is the New King James. Your translation, if it's a different, we'll read something very similar. By one offering. What's the offering? Not the money you gave. Not. It's the offering of Jesus that God gave. By one offering. And in that offering of Jesus, he has perfected forever those who are sanctified, or as some translations say, those who are being sanctified. And the very reason that word being is in some of the New Testament translations, because the translators were not comfortable believing that what it said in the Greek language is absolutely what it means. They do not believe that you're already perfected and that you're already sanctified. So they put in there, in some of the translations, they put in there, those who are being sanctified. Well, you can take it on either one of those terms. Both of them point in the same direction. But in the Greek language, it tells you he has perfected you. And it already says in the same passage, three verses earlier, he has sanctified you. So why would he need to still sanctify you if he has sanctified you? But he says you are sanctified, and then if you want to take it in the New King James, you are being sanctified. But he already says up in verse 10 or verse 12, you are sanctified, and then he also says you are perfected. Wow. Wow. Is that because of a posture that you pose in? Is it because you wear a suit to church? Your Sunday go-to-meeting clothes, is that what brings sanctification? Is it because you give an offering over your 10% tithe? Or is it because you speak King James language that sanctifies you? It's because all your hairs are coated down with monkey grease and laying perfectly together, and that's what has brought perfection to you? Is it because you haven't cussed in tongues in a good while? Is that what causes perfection to flow in you? No, it's the offering of Jesus applied to you legally at Calvary and placed into you personally in the new birth. Jesus is your holiness. Jesus is your sanctification. Jesus is your redemption. He is your consecration. He is your all in all. Gary, I want to read verse 10, 12, and 14 one more time, and then we'll wrap this up. Reminder. Okay, refresher course. Verse 10 says, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus once for all. So again, get on with your sanctified self. Thank you, man. Get on with your sanctified self. Just be your sanctified self. Just be who you are in Christ, because it's Christ in you that is your sanctification. So if he sanctified you, how can he call you an unsanctified creature? And if he sanctified us at Calvary, guess what? It counts for the whole world. Because when he sanctified us, there was no body of Christ. In fact, sanctification is what sets you into the body of Christ. He's not mad at you. He's never been mad at you. And he's not mad at the world, not since Jesus carried the wrath of God away. Jesus was nailed to the cross of wrath, laid into the tomb of transformation, and is now seated on the throne of grace. Everything secured in your behalf. The covenant with God is between him and Jesus. It's not between God and you. It's for you. It's to you. But it ain't through you. Hey, Bubbalicious. You didn't do anything to receive salvation except let salvation receive you. Romans 10:11 says, so they that believe in him shall not be put to shame. And two verses later, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Got a handout I want to pass out for you to take with you for your snacking pleasure, entitled The Covenant of Father and Son. But I'm just going to pass these back. You can read them on your own. And let me read the next two verses. Verse 12. Will you get these over on this side? But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. One sacrifice for all of mankind, past, present, and future. And then verse 14, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are sanctified. Or if you want to get just a bit religious, those who are being sanctified. If you're working your sanctification out, you're getting religious with it. sanctification's working you out. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing men's trespasses to them. Why? Because all of men's trespasses were imputed to him, the Lamb of God, who carried away the sin of the world. God doesn't think you're spastic or drastic. He thinks you are without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. For in him you live and move and have your being. In body of Christ, everyone you talk about that's washed in the blood of Jesus, what you say about them in the natural ain't even true as far as God is concerned. They're just as holy as you are. They're just as righteous as you are. They're just as sanctified as you are. They're just as perfected before God as you are. Yeah, they may have some character flaws, but guess what? He doesn't speak of your character flaws. He speaks of your sanctification. And that's what he speaks about them too. God's not double-minded. You're either holy or you're not. You're either saved or you're not. You're either born again or not. You're either a partaker of the divine nature or you're not. But what we do is we judge after the flesh. We deal with response and react and actions and reactions. We deal with the natural realm interaction. That's how we get ticked off. You all remember that one time there at Captain D's and I'm getting all religious with it. I should have been free to have the fun you girls were having back that day. I was the one that needed set free. I'm sitting back there getting all religious, and they're up front loud enough for the whole restaurant to hear them. That's what I'm referring to. Yeah, and they're just bubbling and giggling and laughing and interacting and fellowshipping at the Captain D's down on Murdoch Avenue. I'm sitting clear in the back of the restaurant just because they're laughing loud and having a good time. I got to get on up as a pastor and march up front and say, girls, yeah, that's right. The old no thumb. I know what y'all did. Y'all prayed for me when I went sneaking away from the table, didn't you? Amen. Hallelujah. It's taking hold. Hallelujah. Where the Spirit of the Lord is. Oh, and this wasn't even in the last 3 or 4 years. This is back when she was a citizen of the Parkersburg area, a citizen of Fresh Fire. That might have even been before we went to Wales, or right about the time we went to Wales on two trips. Right before. Oh, you remember it well, don't you? Could you tell me what clothes I was wearing that afternoon? Okay. All right. No, it was before then. Anyway, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. You're free. You're free from spiritual impurity. You're free from God accusing you. You're free from condemnation. There's about 15 times in the New Testament that says there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. You are sealed with the Spirit of redemption. You are loved unconditionally. You have become a partaker of the divine nature. You're free to be the Son of God that you are. You're free to be the daughter of God that you are. And to get over all those emotional and mental and memory insecurities that we all pack around, just go bail out into the presence of the Holy Spirit and just let him give you a spastic attack of joy unspeakable and full of glory. You are accepted in the beloved and you're seated in heavenly places. There are more that be for you than there can ever be those that could rise up against you. You are secure, you're safe, you're sealed, you're sanctified. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You're free to be who God already made you to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, we declare we have that freedom. We share that freedom. We bear that freedom. We wear that freedom. We're your kids. We're your children. We are brothers and sisters in the one real family in all of eternity, the body of Christ. We are sons and daughters of the God who created the heavens and the earth. And he created the heavens and the earth for the pleasure of man. And he created you, Lord Father. You created man for your pleasure. And we are your treasure. And you have placed a measure of your glory within us. And we are fellow heirs with you and co-heirs with Jesus. There's no insecurity. There's no unsurety. There's no blemish, wrinkle, or spot within us before you. That's why Hebrews 4:16 says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Here in the natural realm, we need to obtain mercy and locate that grace to help. But we have been filled with the grace of God and the God of all grace. Thank you, Daddy. We are secure and we are sure that we are your children. We're sanctified, we're consecrated, and we're saturated with the divine nature of God. Daddy, you love us. You can't help but love us. And we can't win. We can't lose for winning. Because greater is He that's in us than he that is in the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Even the faith of God that lives within us. We're more than conquerors, not because we conquer everything, but because of your great love for us. Hallelujah. We win because you won. In Jesus' name, we appreciate it. Amen. Amen.